Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Or should I say another season of the CP podcast. The podcast where we talk about the shit CP want to talk about. Because the CP and the CP brand and the CP, all that shit. We are back. And of course, there's like four of us in here now. Because my beautiful co-host is expecting. And you all didn't know that. She's already announced it. But You all didn't know that because the podcast has been gone. I knew. Couldn't tell nobody. Just want to let y'all know that y'all ain't figuring it out when I figure it out. Like, I'm a little bit more exclusive than y'all. But Maya, glowing, just, man. And on the screen, look at me, black. I keep telling y'all, all this motherfucker wear is black, black, black. But now y'all can see it. We got the new season 2 Amir Cam.
Yeah.
Shout out to Amir, man.
In the cut. In
Amir the is not pregnant, by the way. Amir is not pregnant. He on the pill. So, look. we were just in here talking about baby stuff. You know what I'm saying? Maya, how you feeling?
I feel great.
You look great. You look like you just like you super like.
She's shining, bro.
Yes, like shining. Like new money is crazy. So, that's dope. And we were talking about, you were thinking about having like, kind of having them close together, right? And I think that's a great idea. I know my kids are like 3 years apart. And I feel like that's like the most you should go is 3 years, I feel like. If you want to have your kids close together, right? Mm-hmm. People, you got two little kids, and it will be hard. But we were talking about how, like, it changes so fast. By the time it's not hard anymore, you miss the hard shit. That's what lets you, that's almost like working out.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like working out. It's like, it starts off, and it's, oh, my God, I got to get up in the morning. I got to do this, and da-da-da. And then your body gets so, like, conformed to doing that shit to the point where it's like, it feel good. I'm getting up, making a bottle until you don't have to. And now you're like, oh, man, I miss when they just needed me and had a boo-boo and a Band-Aid. And that shit is gone. And now they like, Robux. We want Robux. It's like, for what? For being a fucking kid, Robux. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, man. So, you know, and then Amir was saying he's not ready to have no kids yet.
No, I'm not. I'm not ready, guys.
People weren't ready to have you, man.
Mm-hmm.
I know. Shout out to them though. I'm here.
But, you know, shout out to
them. They was playing at risk, you know.
Yeah, people be fucking. And that's just the bottom line. It happens. It's gonna happen. You know what I'm saying? I'd rather have a cream pie baby than like a nut drizzle baby. You know what I'm saying? Like
it was intentional.
I just like if I want to be like, aah! Instead of like, oh, I got a little bit in you. I feel like them little bit in yous are like murderers.
Oh, accident.
Yeah. They're the ones who be like, yeah, I'm here to kill. Like you weren't supposed to be the sperm that made it. But if you like blast your whole load in there, then like the best of you is like, move, evil niggas. You know what I'm saying? You feel me?
And then you can fight your way through.
Yes. And so I just feel like, man, you can always tell who a good cream pie baby is. You know what I'm saying? they got like a big ass head, like, yeah. They walk around confident and shit. And, you know, the law offices of cream pie baby. You know what I'm saying? Like, Dr. Cream Pie Baby. How you doing, Dr. Cream Pie Baby? You know, we have our correspondent, the astronaut, Cream Pie Baby. He's on the moon now. Well, we're here now on the moon. Cream Pie Baby here. And you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. But that's dope, though. That's dope. You look up, man, and it's like you realize when you look at kids, man, you remember that we're all just kids. and we just some old ass kids.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And it's crazy. Like, there is no such thing as an adult, for real. Because it's always, like, put it like this. Maybe adult should be like the oldest, grayest version of you. That is your adult.
Well, they say that you become the adult when you're the last generation. So, like, when a man's father dies, that's when they say he gets really emotional, because it's like, oh, I'm next. Or a woman's mother dies, it's like, oh, I'm the one they go to, you know?
You become like the matriarch almost.
It's scary.
Yeah.
That's why people freak out. Like, when a man's father dies, like, he goes into like a year or two long state. Like, he just has to get his stuff together.
Damn. Yeah. And I know some homies who had their pops die, and I think that's like, it's very interesting that you say that. It does bring about a level of, I gotta handle this shit now.
There's no one to go to. There's no one for advice.
Yeah, I feel like fatherhood for me kicked that gear. Like, when I became a dad, and you see your kid, and you're like, all right, cool, you can't fucking do nothing for yourself. And then you start helping them do stuff for themselves. And then it's like, that definitely brings about, I never had nothing to be like, I gotta go home. I was always like, I'm in the streets. Not just in the streets in a bad way, but I'm just out.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm just out. I'm going to be out till the late morning. I'm going to be out. I'm going to be over here. I'm going to be over there. We over here talking shit. We, you know what I'm saying? We just out. And I think that having kids is like, I got to get to the crib.
Yeah. I mean, I think about it a lot, and that I'm going to have to maybe pretend to be a lot much better person than I really am, just so they have a good example.
Mm.
Wait.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I got to stop cursing.
Well, I have a theory, right? Because, yeah, that little minute of freedom that when you leave your parents' house before you become somebody's parents, that's like where you're at, Amir, right now.
Yeah.
That's like the heem of it. You're at the heem. And some people just be up here like, I like it up here, be like, fuck it. And then they just stay up here, right? But it's like, you know, you at your parents' house, you can't fuck, you can't curse, you can't smoke, you can't drink. Then you leave out of their house, and now you're free, and you can fuck and smoke and curse and drink. And then, you know, those four things make kids. And then now you got kids, and you can't fuck, smoke, drink, or curse. You become like you're back.
Yeah.
To like, you know what I'm saying? So you got that small little window. You're right. I'd be having to smoke out the window and go on the balcony, and it'd be cold, and I'd be like, oh, and then I'd be like feeling bad if my kids knock on the window. Like, we see, I'd be like, oh, shit, I'm not, oh, fuck, oh. You know what I'm saying? It's like, because you just want to, nobody's ever going to look at you like that kind of hero.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You'd be like, oh, my God. Like, you're like, and they're just like, you're the greatest, and you're the prettiest. And you're just like, Jesus Christ, kid. First of all, get a life. Second of all, you know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, so there is like a little bit of, you got to hold on to that as long as you can. I think that parents who ditch out on being in that part of their kid's life are not only doing the kid a disjustice, but you are missing out on one of the wonders of what this life is about. Like, you know, it's an opportunity to have a different set of emotions upgraded onto you. It's like, oh, I'm downloading these new emotions. You know what I'm saying? Like, so, you know, yeah, it's beautiful, man. It's dope, dog. And it just, and then the fact that they come from fucking is dope too. They just bring it all full circle. Like, the fun. You know what I'm saying? Cream pie, baby. Anyway, so as usual, Maya has things that are possibly gonna fuck our days up.
I don't think it will. I mean, honestly, the way everything's going, can you really fuck people's days up anymore? You just turn on the phone and it's already bad enough.
I agree. I saw, y'all see on Twitter that little girl got electrocuted by that refrigerator?
No.
Huh? Oh my God, that shit was crazy. Twitter is just, it'd be like porn, political, porn, disturbing, porn, gospel.
Did she like touch the outlet or something?
So it was like she was trying to get an ice cream out.
Oh my God.
And it was like a metal cage around it that I guess the plug in the back had came out of the wall and was now like just exposed by the metal.
Oh.
And so she just was, her dad was talking up by the register, and she got on the thing, she's looking in it, and you see her just like you think she's looking in it, but you're like, maybe she don't see nothing she want. But no, nigga, she's getting voltage. Like, and she just like sitting there and she just can't let go. And then you just see her just drop. And everybody, like, what the fuck going on? And then they find out, but it's like, oh, Jesus Christ. So you see shit like that, that could fuck up your day. That definitely fucked my day up. But I'm excited because I know what we're going to talk about today besides this shit. But
OpenAI. ChatGPT.
Right. ChatGPT, OpenAI. Now, if y'all remember...
I knew he was going to talk about this.
Man, because...
It's everywhere, bro.
Number one, is everywhere. But number two, as always, we were on the fucking, like, the precipice of this shit, right? Talking about the guy at Google who was saying that it was dangerous coming from AI. Talking about Lambda back in the day. We really discussed this in season one. So it's dope that not only is it coming to the forefront, but shit is happening. Like, fucking... What is ChatGPT?
We can try it. So basically,
you about to try it?
You can try it. This is the actual ChatGPT right here.
Oh shit!
You gotta make an account.
I think I have an account. Oh, I just want to show everyone see my business.
It's literally everywhere, bro. No matter where I go, it's like, this was made with ChatGPT. This was done with ChatGPT. Like, bro, like what?
What?
Because they're using it as. I don't even, like, the thing about AI is, like, it's not used for just, like, one thing or, like, an assistance. It's becoming more of, like, a something in the forefront of things nowadays. Like, our phones have AI, obviously, mm-hmm. and artificial intelligence. And there's AI and programs that help us do things, learn things, or help us do things better. Now it's being, like, the tool is separate from it assisting something. And now it's a tool that you can use to do almost anything in creative space or anything like that. And that's where it's becoming like kind of weird, because I know you've seen the stuff where people taking people's voices and then like making music and all the other stuff that goes on with it, or just creating art, you know?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Well, here's the thing about a lot of this AI, as far as we have it right now, is that it's like a hack. It's not like it's creating, it's going online and finding what other people have done and like cutting and pasting. Mm-hmm. So as a writer, ChatGPT is a total hack. It's not original.
Yep.
But then you're like, well, how many working writers are just hacks? And that's where you get into...
Right. That's when you feel like, well, damn, the human sarcasm and human copycatting is almost ChatGPT in a way.
Somewhat, but it's more like with the AI thing, it just takes what's there and then it kind of tries to make something new, but you can still see the references of what the original parts are. Whereas like we can take things from somebody else and put our own spin on it. Something right. that makes it more original.
So I think that the lack of an own spin is what separates this from being a sentient kind of thing.
Yeah, well, see, that's the interesting thing about sentience. And we talked about this a little bit with Lambda. But sentience means, it has meant up until now, that it can pass a Turing test. And a Turing test is when someone like me and you talks to the robot and we can't tell the difference as to whether or not it's a robot. But really, what you're looking at is whether we can tell the difference, not whether it is sentient. It's testing the tester.
Wow, okay.
So I can, we'll link at the bottom of this for the YouTube. This guy called David Block goes into it. He's talking about breaking the Nazi code and Turing and everything like that. But it's really getting into the fact that we don't know who we're talking to. And we haven't for a while.
Mm.
Yeah. I also feel like in the past year, things have gotten really, it just seemed to quicken up, like got really advanced really fast.
It did. And this popped out, when was this, November of last year, where we introduced ChatGPT like, to the public?
Yeah, something around there. Because when this ChatGPT popped off and then the other things, or the OpenAI or whatever they're called, like they all kind of dropped at the same time. And then it was just like, boom. It's like, oh, submit your pictures. You can make AI versions of yourself and do these things and write all this stuff. It all happened at once. And then it's just continuously every day is like, it's something.
I remember that. People had like an alien version of you, a version of this. But then it happened at the same time where everything everywhere all at once was telling people that there's 1,000 versions of you anyway. So it kind of was fitting into that.
Philosophy.
Yeah, it was kind of like feeding into it. But then again, I keep saying this idea of the multiverse just came out of nowhere.
Well,
over the last maybe 10 years, I'll say that.
Or like 20. That's okay. So it comes from every choice you make, there's a universe in which you made another choice. So however many choices, and it branches off through that.
Is that true?
Well, the you can't test it, because even science doesn't even claim to be able to test anything outside of our universe. You ask a physicist, can you test this? It's philosophy, it's not science.
So we've always been taught that the universe was the universe, and it was so vast.
Yeah.
Now, the universe is contained in a pocket of other universes that is pocketed into a multiverse.
We don't know if that's true. That's another philosophy.
Okay, we don't know if that's true, but we do know that what we were considering as the universe was actually, quote unquote, our galaxy. A lot of people got the two confused.
Yeah.
So now that we know that our galaxy sits in a bubble cluster of thousands of other galaxies.
Yeah.
People are now saying, well, that's the multi universe, because each one of those could have a version of you there.
In theory, it's like monkeys typing Shakespeare.
Mm-hmm.
That just by randomness, they'll eventually type Shakespeare. So maybe that's true.
Wait a minute. What do you mean monkeys typing Shakespeare?
Like, you put enough monkeys in a room and eventually they will type Shakespeare just by typing randomly.
Nah. So somebody's gonna spell the word Shakespeare on the
page. They'll type out Hamlet. Well, that's the old saying.
What do you mean? You would see Hamlet's name on a paper through all the bullshit that they type, or
just randomness?
I wonder what the odds are of that.
Right, like, that's crazy.
Well, that's the same odds of there's another you in another part of the universe, because everything can just keep happening, and the universe is so vast and expansive.
But then again, no, it is not. That's what we keep saying. The universe. But it can't be, because the universe is now contained, right? I'm talking about the galaxy.
The galaxy, yeah. Okay, we have our Milky universe, Way.
The universe as we think of it is our version of everything. And then the multiverse is different layers of everything on top of each other also existing.
So what, yeah, that's like bubbles.
So our planets live in... We're in a galaxy?
Galaxy. I think we're in like the Milky Way galaxy.
That. And that's just consisted of the planets that we have.
The planets that we have and that ones that we know of. And so apparently there are hundreds of planets inside of our galaxy right now. And we're starting to see more and more of them light years away. But they're still inside of the fucking...
Oh, so they're still inside the Milky Way.
Yeah, our shit.
Okay. So it's not even... So I was thinking because I don't remember everything from class. But it was like galaxy. So galaxy is not just our planets. It's all the other stuff that exists inside of this galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
And then if we go zoom even further out, then that would be
another galaxy. That's like it's like this. Put it like this. We're imagine you got like a box of nerds, right? And this is a bunch of little nerds in a thing. And we are one nerd. Inside of one nerd is everything that we know about all the planets that we have. But then we're sitting right next to another nerd that supposedly has a bunch of planets inside of it and its own sun or suns. And then that's next to another one that has similar makeup, but can have completely different like compounds together to create what they know as their planets. And it's so crazy that it's like, first of all, we are a pixel inside of one of the dots that's a color.
Yeah, so this is the map of the known universe as we know it, and we can only see as far as time has traveled. So all of those dots are galaxies, and it does kind of look like brain patterns.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, all right, then zoom out, and then zoom out again, and then zoom out again, and then zoom out. It's just like an infinite zoom
and
out.
So us being alone... is not even, this is what they're priming us. This right here is the lube for the thinkers. Like, this is what they're greasing us up with. Like, dog, look, just understand that we're in one of these dots. So imagine if we could begin to communicate with everybody, bro, this shit could get nuts and fun.
That's what they say about the speed of light will immediately limit our ability to communicate with these people. But it could, and That's another thing that hasn't been proven. If we're a simulation, then the speed of light could be a natural limit to us ever exploring too far.
Right. Well, it's just the speed of light could be like the edge of the program. It's like there is no way to...
You can't... Yeah. We can't... well, we could send a drone.
But it's like even the idea of the drone is considered to be inside of the simulation. That's like a PlayStation disc trying to have more information than what's on the disc. It's like, dog, the disc is the disc. So I don't know if you think that we could spin faster, but even if you spin faster, the information that's on the disc is the limit. And there's somebody who was way bigger than us that can take this disc out and put another disc in with more information. You know what I'm saying? Like, theoretically, that's what it feels like. And that's crazy. So...
I don't even know where we are on this map. We must be kind of in the middle.
I know.
Because that's what we see. We see from every direction out.
And these funky motherfuckers want my taxes. You see this shit? Like, no, y'all better go tax the everybody. I'm going to be living in this bitch, living. Then I got to pay to live and all these motherfuckers around here.
Yeah, they... I mean, we're talking about ChatGPT this week, but they're coming out with a lot of things on... these UFOs, and they're like, we might be...
And it's starting to be like, we're on the verge.
Yeah.
But...
What?
Hold on. Okay, look, we can get on that another week, but hasn't it felt in history like the 70s and the 80s? Every decade has felt like they were getting closer and closer. Like, the people who were into that felt like it's here. Like, E.T., came out, revolutionized. People were like, it looks like shit, which it did. E.T. looked like shit, but it changed the way people were thinking different. And it was like, that was the 80s, and they were ready for it in the 80s. They were ready for the pet alien, and you could feed it the, you know what I'm saying, Reese Pieces. So I just feel like they keep fucking with us, man. Like, we never go. They just edging us.
We could ask ChatGPT.
Okay, let's ask it.
Will we meet alien life?
So you can just ask ChatGPT. So this is like the new Google,
but it shouldn't be used like Google.
Yeah, because here's the thing, and there's a really good video that we should link at the bottom. It's Michio Kaku talking to Joe Rogan, and he... I think he explains in this video that this doesn't know what's right or wrong on the internet. ChatGPT only knows what's on the internet. It can't really sort through and say this is good information or bad information. It says, as of my last knowledge update in September 2021, that was a while ago, there is no confirmed evidence of extraterrestrial life. However, the possibility of discovering alien life in the future remains an active area of scientific research and exploration.
Yeah, 2 years ago or a year and a half ago, that's not going to cut it because they doing shit every month. ChatGPT.
And that the thing about like how you asked it was like the new Google is how people are trying to treat it. And that's what makes it a little, you know, that makes it a scary thing because then people, it's another like platform that could be used for misinformation or just baffling a bunch of BS. And people will take it as like, well, it's AI, it's sourcing everything from da da da. And it's crazy. Well, you know, check your sources, man.
Yeah, because it can't check sources. It just knows that it's out there. What happens if you regenerate response? Ah. It's a completely different response.
Oh, this is it's literally like defending itself right now.
Mm-hmm. It's like a disclaimer.
Yeah.
As an AI, I still don't know. So I heard y'all talking shit about me. Just to be clear, it's like, God damn, just that quick. It's like came back against what Amir is saying about it.
The existence of extraterrestrial life remains speculative. Okay. Is the government hiding information on UFOs?
Well, they don't call them UFOs anymore.
UAPs, yeah. Is it unidentified aerial phenomena? Yeah, UAPs. Question mark?
I think I gotta scroll down a bit.
There is no conclusive evidence to support that the government is hiding information on unidentified aerial phenomena or UFOs. However, it is true that there have been instances where government have classified certain information related to military encounters with unidentified objects for national security reasons. In recent years, there has been an increased interest in the transparency regarding UAPs. The United States government, in particular, has publicly acknowledged the existence of UAP encounters and has established programs to investigate and document these incidents. For example, the U.S. Department of Defense has initiated the Unidentified Aerial Phenomenon Task Force, or the UAPTF, to assess and gather data on UAP sightings reported by the military personnel. Basically, they're going to fucking kill these dudes and be like, what do you know? Okay. So I get it. AI is smart. We don't go down the UFO path. And, you know, AI is a little jerk a little bit. But what about how they getting people's songs? Or how they making these fake Drake songs?
Yeah, let's look up that. I mean, you can do that. People who write music the same way that we, you know, that I write a script or we write scripts. They have a formula they can follow and they can do that. Amir probably knows a little bit more about that.
Yeah, the way they've been doing it, before it was like you can type in something and then it'll try to sound like that person, essentially mm-hmm. like their voice, like just the characteristic of their voice. And this was like maybe 2 or 3 years ago, maybe even four. Shit. And it was bad though. Like they were making memes out of it. It'll be like SpongeBob and it'd be saying some crazy stuff. Like SpongeBob wouldn't curse, but they had him cursing and it almost sounded like if you threw it in like a little part, it sounded like him. So then that was some years ago. Now what's going on is that they've been able to do these things where they can train the AI to sound like somebody else. And since they have so much music out, there's so many different sources for them to pull from. They can try to get your emotion. They try to get how you sound.
Yeah.
But then they're not even typing it in anymore. They're just going in the studio and I'll record something and I'll make it sound like how I would want Drake or Kanye or The Weeknd or whatever. I'll make it sound like how I think they would sound and I'll make some bars that sound like something they would do, right? And then I would take that audio and I would put it into this whatever AI software they're using and then it'll come back and it'll sound like them, but it's my flow.
Go ahead.
And then the most recently, I saw Timbaland do this, right? And everybody knows Timbaland. Everybody loves Timbaland for his production. He's regarded as one of the best. But what he did with the thing, he was like, I always wanted to collaborate with Biggie. That's what he said. I've always wanted to collab with Biggie. I never got a chance to collab with Biggie. But we've been cooking up some with this AI thing, and they played a song. And it sounds like Biggie. It's just that it's not Biggie. You know what I'm saying? And they just recently did that. And
I got to hear that.
I don't like any of that kind of stuff.
I got to hear that Timbaland and Biggie. Here's my thing. Here's what I imagine at a first thought about how I could see this working out. Okay, so they're training the AI, and you're right, these people have so much music out. Mm-hmm. So what they do is they categorize words and they gather the words, right? So Kanye has said the maybe 78,000 times in his songs. So they have the, all the does. Mm-hmm. And then they got bitch, they got all your bitch, and it's doing it fast. Now, as it begins to put these bars together based on whatever emotion it wants to invade, it might use the 803. And that might be the one that goes the, and it's like the inflection, because you put out so many words, some of them you say all the time, some of them in chants, and some of them they have live concert. You know how somebody do an unplugged mm-hmm. and you hear that? My question is this. Somebody like Drake can get pissed, but what about these people who've been selling their catalogs for $200 and $300 million? Now your catalog, if you know, these big AI companies can start purchasing, let's say like we want new music from the Beatles, and you can't say that it's not them because somebody owns their catalog, and it's like I'm using their catalog to create new music based on what they would have said, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah.
And this new Beatles album about to drop. Man, and I bought their catalog for $78 million back in whenever. So I'm doing it and I'm getting the royalties and I'm going to tour the fucking holograms and it's just going to be some shit.
Yeah. No, that's the one thing that's the scary part about it is that, yeah, when it comes to ownership and stuff like that. And the fact that you can't really, there's no laws in place to really keep that kind of stuff from happening in general.
Well, there's copyright laws. If they sold their catalog, that's one thing.
Yeah.
But someone like, if you're a writer and ChatGPT goes and uses your words, like people are suing because they're like, this is my play or this is my whatever. And ChatGPT found it on the internet and put it into its thing. Now you can sue for copyright.
Of course. And so but they're gonna make so much money that they just gotta be ready for that. You know, and that's probably like a 2 in 10 occurrence. And then probably 1 in 100 would follow through on the lawsuit to actually get it. And then that's, you know, and more people probably would eventually, but you know, I think that the reward outweighs the risk totally. My thing is, over the last few years, we've been hearing about how, like, a lot of these artists have been worth more dead than alive. So now we play with that type of conspiracy where it's like, well, what about a rapper that, you know, somebody like Pop Smoke, for example? I don't know his situation and all that, but if somebody wanted to make money off of Pop Smoke, they could generate AI Pop Smoke. And if an artist didn't want to cooperate or follow whatever, what could stop somebody from killing them off and then replacing their stuff with AI before people even realize that it's not even them?
No, it's just the laws. Because if they haven't sold their catalog, the murder is illegal. So from what I've been hearing,
of course murder is illegal. Yeah. But people get murdered. Somebody got murdered 15 seconds ago.
No, I know, but to do that in a business environment, and then to try to actually make money off it, because this money is going through like a secondhand account. It's going through like PayPal or whatever. It's not going to go directly to you.
Right, but what I'm saying is, I'm talking about like they talk about evil record executives and how they don't care about the artists and how, you know, somebody like a Nipsey Hussle, you know, or a Tupac, right? Where all out of the studio, some of their messaging could bring an uproar into the community and make people realize and think differently. But inside the studio, their music is worth so much, and to eliminate that outside the studio persona and then continue that inside the studio cash flow. It's something that is, what I'm saying is that this represents a new avenue for crime in a new way. We already had one with the way shit was.
I mean, it's possible. It's definitely possible that someone could, you know, someone could go through that effort to do that. In my opinion, that would be like an outlying event. Like, you would also find a music executive that would kill their client anyway, every once in a while. Because, you know, they're trying to go to a different client or whatever. Mm-hmm. So from generally what I've understood of how they're trying to keep this down and trying to keep a tight lid on this is they're going to try to do it through the laws that are in place. Because I don't see that our Congress, our legislator, is going to be able to draft new laws.
Nah. And these Drake AI songs are kind of hard. Have y'all heard of Drake AIs?
Yeah, we can play it. I can play it here, but
it's possible it could get striked, even though it's not real.
Right. So yeah, we'll strike it for the YouTube. We'll probably put some links down or something so y'all can check it out.
Yeah.
It's just for the Patreon.
It's a Drake AI full album.
People are making full thing. Like, people are just pushing out stuff. It's all over the place. So they just be like, they'll make. And the thing is, it takes so much effort for real to really do that, and they're putting all that effort into doing that so they can be like some publicity or something like that. And then it's like, dog, these are your raps that you basically gave away to a program.
Yeah, but like, the business is sweet. But here go the thing though. Two things I want to say. Number one, if you're Drake and you like that, do you take it?
You know, I'm gonna be honest, that song sounds like every other Drake song to me.
But that's what I was gonna say. The second thing I was gonna say is that it sounds like an older Drake.
Because it's not you, the person that's making that is not as good as Drake. It's not as good as Drake. That's why. Yeah.
Right. So it's like the wordplay is kind of like simple.
It's super simple.
It's like, that's
what I'm saying. So it's like, it's almost like the person is acting as an AI. This is what I think Drake would rap like, right, and I'm going to use his voice.
And the AI is just smoothing it over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And even then, it's like, the thing is like, all right, the thing with the beat thing is that you don't have to use AI to do a beat. Anybody can make a, because they make templates of how to make beats like a specific person. So they'd be like, they'll put Metro's tag on it because everybody can just grab it and then be like, Metro made the beat. And then they'll go in and make a song or whatever over a beat and then be like, yeah, Drake and then and like that. Even when I listened to it, I was like, y'all can't tell this is not him. because it's just not good either. There's certain distinctive parts about it that it'd be like, if you listen, if you're actually listening to Drake or you're a fan of The Weeknd or whatever, you'll know that this is terrible. Like, it, you know,
right,
in comparison to the stuff that they made.
Or the good stuff that they make. I'm sure they have like stuff that, you know, on the whole album, there's probably a few songs that aren't very good. It's like everybody else's album's kind of a throwaway. But yeah.
But even then, it'd be better quality than that.
So this is what, apparently, this thing called Voiceify. You can make high quality AI covers in seconds.
Really?
Clone your own voice. Oh boy.
Let me see about this. Yeah, it's Google.
See, the whole thing is growing up. I feel like it's an attack on rap, though. I won't be completely honest, because that seems to be where everybody's focus is. I haven't seen anybody else talk about, like, AI uses for any other genre of music, per se. It just seems to be, like, rap, R&B, mostly.
Let's see. Drake model, Juice WRLD model, Ariana Grande model.
The Weeknd, Michael Jackson, we've seen. They use his voice to put him on like rap songs and stuff. X, Travis Scott, Eminem.
A lot of pop. So they have these people who they have enough of their voice. It's funny, like 10 years ago, I got this job, this gig, and I was terrible at it. But they would give people birthday messages in the voice of a particular celebrity. And that's exactly what we had to do, is like, you know, clip out this, and this, and then write a program where it's this word plus this word, or this variation plus this variation. So the tech has come a long way since then.
See, I'd be like, happy birthday to you from Beyonce, because Houston. Yeah, that's crazy. So, oh, shit.
Oh, you can get a Trump model. Yeah, it's mostly rap and pop stars. They just don't have other people. Ed Sheeran model.
I'm going to tell you. I don't know if I can do a Trump. They're very good, I tell you.
I've seen, like, they've done the political leaders and stuff. I've seen the memes with Joe Biden and all that kind of stuff like that.
I've seen Obama. Obama's funny. I'm mad that Joe Biden has more than Obama. More uses than Obama, but I guess it's president.
Just this website. There's so many.
Well, because it's websites. So funny to use him, though. It's like they're joking around with using him.
Yeah.
Look, bottom line is he always stop in his sentence and start of something else. How do you feel about the schools? You know, you study. Look, recess is good. If you know, see, be like, bro, what are you talking about?
I do art. I'm a painter, and so there's this thing called Midjourney. That's going to put me out of business. I mean, it's like, I'm already out of business. I'm not trying to be a portrait artist.
It can't paint. It could just make something that look like paint or whatever. Or draw things that look like it and stuff like that. I mean, obviously, it's getting better because it's just pulling stuff that every other artist has already done.
Yeah,
and then putting it together. Even the thing like when people were doing the... I forgot the name of the app, but when everybody was doing the thing, when they had all those pictures of them, like, in these different forms and all that stuff like that, you could see, like, some of them had the signatures of the artist, like, the style that they stole it from and stuff like that. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, well, the thing is, if I'm going to play with a painting, like, I'm going to do a painting, I'm going to play with it, first off, not all of them are good, which is fine. This is not all of them are good here either. But the thing is, it takes them a second to do it. And it would take me like a few days to figure out I made a bad painting and start again.
I mean, I think that the people who really want to bank on AI like that are going to realize that they're going to run into the same kind of shit all over again. Because there's not going to be that sense of necessarily originality. Like, you keep pulling all these things and you're going to end up making things that are redundant or necessarily feel lifeless because there's no real inspiration from it. Because you just take exactly what it gives, adjust it just a little bit, and then put it out. And then everything that you do is the same formula. And this thing is getting smarter, but it only is going to be as good as what you input into it.
Well, that's true. It's only as good as what you input. And that goes back to what we were saying of, is there an audience that can tell the difference? Like with that Drake song, you were like, that's not a good Drake song, but you're a connoisseur.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the general audience, they're not connoisseurs of art.
Right.
It's not taught to them. either in writing or in painting or in music. They'll just, or in food, like they just will take whatever's available. Yeah,
but to your point earlier though, are those the kind of consumers that you're concerned about with your business? Like, so as a real artist, do you want people who don't understand real art to be the reason why your art sells? Like, are, do you want to be the person that sells them the art that they don't care about? Or does that strike a chord with you that you want to sell your art to people who like the art? You see what I'm saying? Because there should be, it's like, there's a Target, then there's a dollar store. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And it's like, they have two different fan bases and two different customers. And sometimes there's overlap, right? But for the most part, if you need something from Target, you got to go to Target. You can't go to the dollar store for that.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how I look at it as it pertains to art, like especially with, like with comedy. Like, I'm not worried about it trying to do comedy. I think what it could do is somebody could take my voice and then say a joke that they think I would say. And that's cool. And if I like it, I'm snatching that bitch. Be like, yeah, I did say it. You know what I'm saying? Like, what can you do? So.
No, that's true. It's just a matter of volume. You know what I mean? Like, everybody wants those real connoisseurs in the audience. Everybody wants, you know, comedians want comedians to appreciate what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. It's just that you think the push of it being to the point where they get enough people to not care. Because if we can get it close enough to what we were trying to make it like in the first place, then enough people won't care. Is that what you think the push could go to? Because I feel like there's a stance of this supposed AI taking all these jobs kind of thing. And there's this fear of it going on and doing all these things like that. And I think the fear is so much stronger than what the AI can actually do at this current point. Obviously, mm-hmm. everybody's just like, this is the worst it'll ever be. And you can say that about anything when it comes to tech. It's the worst it's ever going to be, bro. Like, we continuously get better with anything that comes tech, like technology-wise. Like, this iPhone that I have right now, this is the worst the iPhone is going to be. The next one's going to be better. And then the next one's going to be better.
I don't know. When they took out the headphone jack, that was
Well, no, it can't be the worst the iPhone is ever going to be, right? Because the worst the iPhone is ever going to be is going to be the first one, right? Because that
I'm saying in that current state. You see what I'm saying? So whatever the new thing is, in that current state, this is the worst it's going to be from this point on. We don't regress. We only continue to go forward is what I'm saying.
You're saying like we're now the youngest we'll ever be.
Yeah, essentially. And that's what
No, we're still not the youngest that we'll ever be.
We're
the youngest we'll ever be again.
Yeah, the youngest we'll ever be again.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So with that little again is what that phone phrase needs to be the worst phone ever, because really, in general, when the first iPhone came out, it was the best thing ever. Mm-hmm. We've gotten so far from that is literally the worst case scenario.
Yeah.
Right.
But I meant, and again, like, this is the worst the phone will be again. Like, each one, like, what I'm saying is every iteration that goes forward will be better than the last one.
This is like, okay, so can we say this? This is the new floor.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
So with AI, every day, whatever it gets upgraded, it's a new floor. The ceiling has yet to be reached.
Yeah, there is no ceiling.
But I feel like that's the case with most of the things that we use on a day-to-day basis anyway. The things continue to get better in some sort. Some parts of it may get worse. And just like with anything else, I feel like, same shit with AI, some parts of it do get worse. The fear is the part that's pushing people to be like, I need to look into this. I need to do this, because it's a thing of like, it's going to take your jobs. Like, the writers are on strike. Mm-hmm. And some of them are saying like, AI, like, seriously? Like, AI can't do what we do. But the execs don't give a fuck, because it's money on the line. They're like, AI will do this.
AI can't do what... I'm a writer. I'm in a WGA. AI can't do what everybody can do, but a lot of lazy shows have made it to where it's like, I think AI could write 4 fucking seasons of The Walking Dead.
Yeah, or Supernatural. Remember that show?
You know what I'm saying?
They could write Supernatural.
It's like, it's one of those things where it's like, unfortunately, our lack of creativity and our laziness creates these patterns that can easily be fucking traced, because people steal the idea and make another one all the time, mm-hmm. right? There's always another, you know, people are always taking that. You don't go to China. They're like AI people. You know what I'm saying? Like, their whole motto is AI, right? I think that's what's scary. Like, you know, like shows like this show I just got done working on with Natasha Rothwell, Genius, genius show. I don't think that that can be duplicated through AI because it's through her experience, right? But what's scary is Game of Thrones could be written by AI because it doesn't exist. It's not a real thing. All of it is imagination. And as we saw with the last season of the real Game of Thrones, it was shit. It was like somebody came in with knowledge of the world and just created an ending because George R.R. Martin was taking too long. So shows like that where things don't exist and fairy tale and all of that, the money is running out to trust a George R.R. Martin to write a 1,002-page book so that we can adapt versus going to this ChatGPT and being like, based on what you know about this story, where do you see it ending, right? And then we get that one. All right, cool. Let's ask it again tomorrow. And then we come back and get a different answer. Come back and get a different answer. Now we compile what we want to compile and fucking boom, right? And it's like, that's what's really scary. And I hate to say it like that because, but like, this is how, like Maya said, a person in my job as a writer, in Maya's job as a writer, this is how we can see AI can creep in. Because now it's a synthetic imagination. And since imagination is quantifiable anyway, based on how you want to perceive it, and nobody can tell you that your imagination is wrong, then having an artificial one becomes just as good. It's like, you can't tell your kid that they don't have an imaginary friend. Like, they see it, right? These audiences can fall in love with a story that AI wrote, especially if they are adapted enough to track it from season one to season five. Like, I've watched shows that are shittily written that it's like, well, I'm invested. And then I'm just going to follow whatever pattern that they got me going on. And so, man, I hate that I'm even saying that out loud because it's scary to even think about that.
We got to teach people how to view art because mm-hmm. that needs to be a class. And everyone thinks like there are art critics mm-hmm. and there are people, a lot of the better art critics, like with culture and with literature, they've had to read a lot of literature, had to read about the life story of the writer, have to read about the history of the writer. Maybe he served in, like Hemingway served in the First World War, served in wars. And so his story is coming from reality. And so you have to actually teach people how to discern meaning from fluff.
I agree. And you know where that comes from? And let me know if y'all agree. This is my opinion. I know I get stronger in my opinion. This season, I want to make sure that I address that something is my opinion versus being like, this is what it is, right? I'm not perfect. Since we were kids in school, art was an elective. Mm-hmm. And it taught us that it wasn't as important as all the other shit. Like, your parents didn't look at your art grade like that. Mm-hmm. Like, the school didn't have the art budget like that. Like, you know, the art teacher was always stressed out, no materials and all, right? What happens is, we were conditioned to not appreciate art. And so what happens is art has become an elective to society. Mm. Art becomes like a thing that you visit, a thing that is a day trip to be real. It's like, and it, you know, the artists, we kind of get put into the category of non-essential people with this kind of, you know, not what we need to survive thing, where I will remind you, this is what's going to fuck people up. Art is the only thing. Now, you need mathematics, you need science, you need chemistry, all of these things to be able to develop art the correct way, but art is the only thing that there is. Like, don't believe me? Go to fucking Egypt and look at the hieroglyphs because that is art that they left behind. See, the art is in the work. The art is in the verbiage. The art is in the landscape. Like, everything is art. That's why things are beautiful. We follow these patterns from nature about how to cluster things. Everything is beautiful because of art. And people act like the artistic people are these marvels, right? Like, oh, Steven Spielberg, oh my God. Oh, and it's like, no, like these are people who went against the bullshit that y'all want to go with, and they didn't forget to keep their inner child alive. And it's like, there's not a lot of people fighting for that, right? That's why the WGA is on strike. That's why the fucking SAG is going to go on strike pretty soon. If they don't, these negotiations don't go well, because it's like, people are sick of everything that you enjoy about life comes from art, but then you treat it like it's not shit.
The way the industry is going now, the producers are getting a lot more power too. And so a lot of the artists, someone told me the DGA was going to go on strike too, that they can just swap out directors, swap out writers, swap out actors, and it's just producers that are making the decisions, the money men.
Well,
yeah.
Yes and no, right? Because they're not stupid. They want their shit to be good. The directors that have the reputations that have been doing it are the ones that you need to pull a certain vision to life, or else it's not going to look like what you think it's going to look like. The problem with that is, and then we have AI producers, I mean, AI directors, you know what I'm saying? You know, that can strike the green screen behind you, do the superimposing of the computer graphics, and film you at the same time.
I mean, it's going to happen. Where did I see the AI beer video, beer commercial?
Oh, I saw that. I saw like a little snippet of it.
While we're looking for that, I want to make an announcement too. I'm shooting my first comedy special in Atlanta on June 4th at the Atlanta Comedy Theater Underground. Mm-hmm. It's a very, very big deal because this is my hour. This could be on Netflix. It could be on HBO. I'm not sure yet where we're going to sell it. It could be premium YouTube. It doesn't matter. This hour is coming out. Y'all about to get what y'all been asking for. So, yeah, Atlanta, you want to be there. It's going to be free. I just want the crowd to be people who like me and want to hear my shit. You know why it's not good? Because they don't want to make it good right now. They are playing around with the idea. But see, let's go back to that and look at what's important, right? That house structure is important. Like, those are humanoid people. Some of those shots from back far look like, you know what I'm saying, real stuff. And it's like, if they fine-tuned it, right, and made all of that Pepsi instead of whatever, and it, like, dog, that could be some real shit.
You saw somebody that, you know, fucked up.
The hands, they cannot do hands right.
I should have said we can bleep that out.
Oh yeah, yeah, I know. Yeah, their hands are crazy.
He's got like two hands going on. Yeah. What's going on there? Like, that's crazy.
Yeah, those dudes fucking deep throating that big ass beard look crazy too. That's wild.
Now, the one thing, good thing I will say about AI technology is I don't think it's going to replace real artists. It'll make real artists try harder. But I think it will replace a lot of lawyers and a lot of people in the medical profession.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that might be good because lawyers are really expensive.
Well, here's the thing. Lawyers are really expensive. And like I always say, first of all, our first interaction about AI was about me being upset that McDonald's workers were real people. And how I wanted AI to do that, because I felt like we talked about this, and I'm happy that that's coming to fruition, because these are certain jobs where I don't need someone's bad day. No, listen.
You have to deal with people's good and bad days. You have to deal with other people.
Do you want someone having a bad day on your heart surgery? You understand what I'm saying?
Like, it can be a sandwich.
It can be. Okay,
there's
fine.
A scale.
Fine.
Here.
There is a scale. But what I'm trying to explain to you is that, imagine a world where the Big Mac looks the same every time, with the same amount of sauce, the same amount of pickles, the same amount of lettuce. It looks the same every time. Instead of the energy being put into it of somebody who hates their manager, hates their job, hates these customers, et cetera, et cetera. Now, think about a doctor that did not have to do 20 surgeries in the last 14 days and is not exhausted when they get to yours and your heart. And the inch or the millimeter that it takes to cut this artery and that artery, and they made a mistake, and it's like, okay, you die, and they tell your family, she didn't make it. And guess what? The odds of you not making it were already, you know, not perfect anyway. So your family's like, dang. And then you're dead and it's over. But really, that fucking doctor got his dick sucked last night and fucking was on coke and could not go to sleep. And so by the time he got to the fucking hospital to do your surgery, he was fucking sleepy. He was tired. He was moody. He was angry. And he fucking made a mistake.
See, here's the thing, is that you're assuming that AI doesn't make mistakes. That's not true. AI still makes mistakes.
Right.
And that doctor...
Does it make mistakes?
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
Robotics. Robots.
Yeah, it still makes mistakes.
Oh.
That doctor might have troubleshooting. So they have this hospital in India, and all they do is heart surgeries. It's all they do. So this doctor doesn't do anything else but heart surgeries. And it's to the point where even though they only go to medical school for 5 years in India, as opposed to like our eight to 12... Yeah. Mm-hmm. This guy, that's all he does. And so he's really, really good at heart surgeries. And so if something goes wrong, like, you know, we're not all the same as, you know, if there's a troubleshooting event, that dude that has spent however long, and maybe the coke's helping. Maybe he had coke right before the surgery. Maybe that's helping him be like, I remember this happened a few years ago. And he can now troubleshoot that event that's happening with you.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
Don't you think that we need his knowledge and memory to be in a program so that he can never, his level of expertise can never pass away? Like, we lose some of the best surgeons, some of the best doctors to age, to death, to Parkinson's, to all kind of things. But their brains and their understanding of what they know, if we could upload their knowledge or have them to be a teacher to AI, right? You teach one AI, that AI could teach 1,000.
There's so much in a human brain. And this is where this clip from Michio Kaku on Joe Rogan.
I'm just saying, right, but can you imagine sending an AI to school for 2 years?
The AI to school, well, the thing is our brain works more like a quantum computer. And did I not put this here? So our brain works more like a quantum computer and the AI... It still can't do everything that a advanced human can do yet. So, oh, here it is. So he's saying once we get quantum computing, we might be able to get an AI that, you know, is fantastic like that. But I think that. You think just like a man can teach or a person can teach their protege something and they teach them everything. They teach them for years. That protege still may never be as good as the mentor or the protege might be better depending on the circumstances.
But if we could get AI, I'm not going to give up on this because I hear what you're saying. We can get an AI protege. If I was a medical teacher and I was teaching a class of all AIs, right? But not only the AI, each AI was attached to an engineer, right? Mm-hmm. That was able to make the AI under, you know, do, to develop the code that was the code that was, you know, the map for the action, right? Mm-hmm. Wouldn't you as the person getting surgery, wouldn't that make you feel good to know that you don't have to go to India because the intelligence that Indian doctor has, this machine has done 1,000 heart surgeries just in the last month because it can do them without getting tired. It can, you know what I'm saying? It's like there's the risks are not as rewarding as the upside of what this AI could be. And that's the problem. The real issue is that if it was just all villain-esque, they would just do away with this so easy. But what it can do positively outweighs what they're going to have to regulate that it can do negatively.
I'm going to have to see because, and I agree with you that we're going toward that. We're definitely going toward that. As far as surgery goes, that has a lot to do with robotics and how sensitive to touch it is.
Mm-hmm.
Like it took them a while to get an AI that could grab a tomato and not crush it. Or not an AI, a machine.
Yeah.
A robot. So the AI is the intelligence and then the machine is the actual robotics.
Right.
So that's a certain leap. Now with things like radiology where they look at the picture and how good is the eye, it seems as though the AI is better already.
Right. And so maybe that's what I'm trying to say. Imagine if, you know, the AI was an assistant to be like, cut this artery, cut it here. Wait a minute, don't cut it yet. Cut it now because the blood flow is going to, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, it could be a good assistant.
Something like that. Like almost like to where it could be a fail proof for some doctors.
To help them.
To help them at least. Yeah.
I definitely think that. And they did recently, they had people consult with AI doctors versus regular doctors. And because the doctors are so overworked, the AI actually did better because they had more compassion, had more time to, you know, talk to them. And they were able to like really listen to what they were saying. So people preferred the AI doctor in that case. So there are some medical professions that, you know, they're going to be AI soon. But surgeon, that might be a while off just because of the precision it takes, especially like brain surgeon or something like that. A lot of those guys are sociopaths, you know, psychopaths.
Hell yeah. They be looking at brains all day.
Yeah. No, like legit, they don't have emotion. They go in there like they're working on a car. Like it's no different to them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a very special kind of human. People, you know, say bad things about psychopaths a lot, but when it's like a pilot that needs to land that plane at the last minute, or someone needs to do a heart surgery on someone who's, you know, do it right now or they're going to die, you kind of want that psychopath.
Well, yeah, because, yeah, you're right. You need somebody who's not squeamish, who's not scared of you dying, but also knows how to not let you die, right? Like, you need somebody that's not thinking about it in a way that's, they're nervous about it and all of that. Man, I just let them old Asian dudes that be looking like Shang Tsung a little bit. Like, they'll be the coolest ones who be knowing some shit. Like, the Shang Tsung were like the older Liu Kang type of long-haired Asian dudes. Little jacket on and shit. They be, yeah, man. They be knowing some shit. That's what's up. Anyway, guys, we got to stop, man. This has been another episode of the CP Podcast. We are back for season 2. Just so you guys know, too, I've been filming a new show for Hulu in Canada for the last 3 months. Also, was a co-producer on it as well as a writer, so I had a lot of hats to wear. So I had to be away, man, and it happens. But we're back. Every week, we are back. So we're going to have these episodes and kicking off season 2. We got Amir on cam, which is dope. We got Mommy Maya in the house. And, yeah, man, I'm your man, CP, man. Always the questions, never the answers. Peace.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.